Are we good?
We're good.
All right, man, we're back. We had some technical difficulties earlier, but, you know.
Edited out.
Yeah.
So, I got the low end. You know me. What is one of my favorite genres of malt? American malt, yeah. Right?
You love it. Defiant?
Yeah, I like the idea of it. Defiant, yeah. It's an American single malt whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
It's 30, well, it used to be. I haven't checked the price recently. But 3 or 4 years ago, it used to be in the low 30s, like $34 yeah. range. Made, guess where?
New Mexico. Probably here in Wisconsin.
Nope. You wouldn't think of North Carolina as a whiskey producing place.
No.
What I mean, what comes? Who else is from North Carolina?
They got a lot of craft out there.
Craft, small stuff.
We reviewed one. The oh my gosh,
was it Rua?
Yeah,
that was from North Carolina.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, but I would say that's craft.
Yeah, I've that's never craft. Seen yeah, it. Yeah. They don't have any big time people out there.
So,
well, not big time. I shouldn't say they're all craft distillers are big time, but yeah,
yeah.
There's no major production.
Yeah, from out North there. Carolina. 100% malted barley. ABV is 41%. So 82 proof. So it's a little on the light side.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no age statement that I
recall.
Can see. I didn't read all the details, but let me do the old Buffalo Trace tip. And let's have at it.
So what made you get this? What stuck out to you?
Well, it was American single malt. And I'm kind of like on a mission to find the great American single malt. They're not there yet. None of them. I haven't had one American single malt where I'm like, this is it. We've made it.
I think we had.
It's just McCarthy's. Developing. Even McCarthy's, it's so new and young. Still too new.
Mm.
But, from what it is, it's probably one of the best.
Those ones that, I gotta review those ones that I bought that one time.
And they're kind of cheating because they get their peated malt from Scotland. So.
Cedar Ridge does some good stuff too. And Westward.
Oh, there it is. Okay. There's kind of a copper. I don't know if copper has a taste or smell, but it's coppery.
Mm.
It's minerally.
Mm.
And it's copper in color. Now,
this is another one that drinks hotter than what the proof is.
It's got a unique character that I've only found in this particular whiskey. Something about it. And it's the smell and taste, there's a unique character, I can't quite put my finger on it, that I've only come across in this whiskey.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Yeah, it's funky.
I like it, but other people don't. How I came across this bottle is a guy gave me this bottle. I'm like, I saw this bottle over at his house. I'm like, oh, Defiant, huh? He's like, yeah, I don't like it. You can have it. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. So it's not everybody's cup of tea. There's a, man, I almost want to say rubber, you know, like a rubber smell. That's not quite it either.
It smelled like my dad when he came home from work, because he used to work for a rubber factory, to your point.
Okay.
So you could smell on his shirt and all that. So it wasn't like an off-putting smell, but it's like fresh rubber.
Yeah.
Like they did everything plastic, rubber, you know.
Industrial smell. Mm-hmm. There's an industrial smell to this. It's dry. Very dry. Dry finish. A little bit of spice.
I'm trying to figure out why would you make it 81 proof.
That is a little strange.
Yeah. I mean, I get 80, like, but why it's like, okay, let's give it an extra 1 proof.
Maybe it's a pride factor where they're like, no, we're not doing it 80.
It drinks
hotter
than 81, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. Do you know the price of this? Well, you were explaining it.
Yeah. It's low end for an American single malt.
Defiant.
And they were ahead of the curve because they put on the label American single malt whiskey, which is the new standard, or going to be the new standard of this classification. Yeah. You have to say those words.
Uh-huh.
You can't just say whiskey. Which you used to be able to, or you still can. This is a kind of a one-trick pony for me. It's got a unique character, and if you're into it,
you're into it.
You like it.
Yeah. And if you're not into it,
don't like that, then you're never gonna like it.
No.
Because there's nothing
that's
predominant.
It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm drinking something, but I'm like, what is it that I'm drinking?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm confused. Yeah.
Huh. Well, the name is kind of fitting. Defiant.
Maybe that's why they named it that.
It's like,
this is not for everybody.
We're not trying to be like something else. Let's see, what else does it say?
I mean, it's not a bad whiskey. It's just, I don't know. I got to get used to this palate. Something that I never had before.
Yeah, exactly.
It's something totally about that malt, though. It's like, it's very funky.
Uh-huh.
And then at the same time, super grain forward. Like, this was made on a farm somewhere, which it could have been. It's just very...
But then you got that industrial smell that kind of like dominates.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not bad. I'm not going to give it a bad score, but I'm not going to give it... I don't know. I think I am ready for my score at this point.
Okay, okay. there's not a lot to say about it. But I'll say, before you say your score... I'll say, if you're looking for an American single malt that is unlike any other and that pushes out your boundaries of what whiskey can do, because whiskey is all over the place, this is one of those that will push out the boundaries of your knowledge of whiskey, because it's totally different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is not something that I will give to someone... that's trying to get into whiskey?
No.
Or a person that's, you know...
This would confuse them, or has no idea about malt at all.
Yeah.
This would be so confusing. Because you think, this is what...
This is what scotch tastes like?
This is a single malt?
This is what all single malts taste like?
No.
And no discredit to them. I'm just saying that it's funky. It's just very... and not funky in a bad way. It's just like... Man, this is taking me somewhere that I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's almost like...
Gosh. I wish
you have a map. Finger on this. You're taking a road trip with your family. And then you open up the map. But it's in a different language. This is how I feel about this whiskey. It's like I'm familiar with it. Because I know it's a map.
Oh.
Because it's a whiskey. But It's in Chinese.
Of Germany.
It's in Chinese.
But I can't read it.
I can't read this, but I know it's a map. So I know this is a whiskey, but I'm like, where's it taking me? I mean, I don't know. I haven't had anything like this before.
It's kind of along the lines of how different Bellevue was.
Yeah. Remember that one? That's from French. Yeah.
That was so different. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
It's along those lines where it's like, what in the world is this?
81.
I was going to say 81 too.
Yeah. 81.
Because I like it. Now,
and I like it too. I'm a
fan of this flavor.
But I'm not in love with it. And yeah. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Yeah. But I'm just not in love with it because it's not something that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to run back to this all the time. I'm going to go to the store and try to find it. Pick up another bottle. And, yeah.
Actually, since he gave me this bottle, I haven't tasted it once. It's been sitting on the shelf for 6 months, maybe more. And this is the first time I've tasted it in a long time. I think I bought 2 bottles of this years ago. We're talking like 7 years ago, around that time.
Well, kudos to they might even came out with other batches of this. Who knows? This could be their first batch that they've done. I don't know. Could have.
And it could also be the same bottle that's sitting on a shelf for 7 years.
Could have. Could be. Like I said, we're done recording this episode. I'm going to look up more information.
No, I'll look up the price of it right now. Because we'll just see. I know it was in the $34 range back in the day. So let's see where it is today. Defiant Disorder. No. Defiant Whiskey. $49.99. Let me see where it's... So $69.99. What? Oh, that's for the rye. $62.99 at Liquor Geeks. Okay, so the price went up considerably. This is not really a low end anymore. Huh. Yeah, I don't see it any lower than $47.
Well, that's craft.
Well, that craft in my price. Book, this is still a low end.
Yeah.
American single malt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the highest, within reason, I'm sure there are some like collectible American malts that are super expensive, but I don't think I've seen a American malt with a price higher than like $80.
Well, the two McCarthy's that I bought, those special ones.
Yeah. So then, right, you got some oddball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But just standard run-of-the-mill American single malt. So I still say this is on the low end.
Well, the other Rua, that Cash Rent one, that tastes like, oh my gosh, that was so
good.
That
was not cheap.
That was so good.
That 7 year, was it 7?
I think so. But in that little 375 bottle, I have not touched it, but I was like, that's going to be a special occasion whiskey for me and Dylan.
It'd be interesting to follow that as it goes, as it airs out and, you know, as it gets a little bit lower in the bottle.
Yeah, well.
All right.
I'm not off by Defiant at all. But, hey.
It's definitely...
On to the next one.
You're kind of like... It's black or white with this. Yeah, Defiant. Exactly. You're like, you get it and love it, or you hate it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't hate it, but I don't love it either. But it's good.
Unless you're a Joel and then you're oddball in between.
Yeah. Now I got the high end.
Let's go.
I've been talking about... Speaking of craft.
Your mic.
Oh. It moved away from me again. Or I moved it away. Okay. Like I said, I have the high end.
Yeah.
And we were talking about craft.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about this craft distillery for ever since we started this podcast, and I never reviewed anything from it. I'm a disappointment, and I'm sorry that it took me... How long have we been doing this? 2 years? Going on 3? Yeah.
Well, it's only 56 episodes, so...
Yeah.
Cut you some slack.
Yeah. Well, I bring before you Starlight.
Oh, yeah. We actually haven't reviewed a Starlight.
Other than that live that we did with the Amberana.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Okay.
But no official review. So today that what I'm going to do is review the Starlight bourbon whiskey finish in cognac barrels.
All right.
And usually when you get these finished products from Starlight, and when they're local, they're usually store picks. So this one comes from Pure Wine. And I think that's just like a Wisconsin-based place that the distributor picks it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just distribute it to liquor stores. So,
right.
Same thing.
What store did you buy it from then?
I think I got this at a discount.
Okay.
Last year, I think.
High proof, I'm guessing.
Not really. 105.
Oh.
Yeah. Not too bad.
No.
105.5. And then when I pour Dylan his, I mean, you get into the details.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what kind of cognac barrels they use. Nor them. They probably make their own cognac at this point.
Can you call it cognac if it's not made in a certain area? There's all those rules.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know how to answer that. Yeah, that's true. All right, let me get the details here. Oh, so the mash bill for this one. Because it's kind of hard to find the mash bill, but I think it's kind of about the same. So it was a blend of Starlight's 3 and 4 grain mash, 51% corn, 20% rye, 9% wheat, 20% malted barley, and then the other blend is 60% corn, 20% rye, and 20% malted barley. And this is probably like 4.5, close to 5 years. It might have the years on there on the bottle. What does it say? 5.5? 4.5?
4.5.
Okay. Yep. So, that's right then.
I'm surprised they don't call it rye. Because it's 20% rye. I mean, that's high. High rye.
Let's get this nose. Well, as you guys know...
4 drops of water.
As you guys know about me, I'm a Starlight fanboy. Talked about the experience we had when we were in Indiana on our way to Louisville. Great. And it's just amazing what they do with their young whiskey. And as them being a family-owned business, you know, a lot of people rush to get product out there quick. So what's the first thing they do? Source. Nope.
Right.
They took their time, which they had other things that they were selling, like their wine and, you know, apple brandy, stuff like that. Yep. So you could be patient when you have that. But, you know, they thought outside the box. Like, yeah, we're confident that our whiskey does taste good at 4.5 and 5 years. But let's make it high proof. They did that. And then once they knew that they had a following, they were like, well, let's think more outside the box. Let's start finishing this stuff. And then they just keep on going on and on and on with finished products.
Yeah.
And they're one of the best that do it in the craft industry. Or just in whiskey in general.
I would never know by looking at the bottle that this is a cult following type of whiskey.
Yeah.
I mean, this is straight up cult following type, you know.
Where in a good way.
If you're a fan of this, you have 12 plus bottles. More like 20 plus bottles.
Yes. Like myself.
Yeah. I've seen 2 people that are fans of Starlight, and both of them have huge collections.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's their number one go-to.
Mm-hmm.
Mmm. All right, go on. So far, the nose is dry and delicate and doesn't really have any... It's very balanced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cask.
Yeah.
Delicious cask.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Huh. Man.
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite Starlight I've had. I've had probably 4 or 5 different ones. And this particular one is my favorite so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to review more.
Oh, this cask is...
Well, you're a fan of that Glendronic finish? That 21-year-old Glendronic?
I forgot
that was crazy.
That
we got to review that one on here.
Ooh. Pepper. Like, peppery. Oh, and then a sweet, full-bodied finish.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is
the finish is just so long.
This is super good. Okay. Yeah. You know, like that guy was saying, you could smell the glass for like a half hour afterwards.
Yep.
This seems like this type of whiskey.
Mm-hmm. For days, man. For days. I miss it there. I need to go back. One of my friends in Virginia, they just did a pick.
It's like icing sugar. Like cupcake icing.
Uh-huh. They just did a pick with Starlight 2 months ago, and they picked the cognac.
Yeah. Nice pick. Okay, how much?
I think I paid 70 to 80 for this. So under 100.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it sold here?
When I got it last year, it was.
Okay. Oh, it's a seasonal thing?
Well, someone picked it.
Oh.
So it's a single barrel?
Yeah. Do they make a non-single barrel version of this? Non-pick, store pick?
Nah, probably not.
Oh, okay. Dang.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
But if you see someone else with a cognac pick a Starlight, you might as well just grab it because it's just going to be good anyway.
This is fabulous. This is right up my alley.
Yeah, that's why I picked it. Because when I had this last year, like from fresh cork pop, my knees melted. And I was like, what? And then I went back and got a backup. That's unopened.
Good job.
Yeah, it's like, And that's what I do with Starlight. Whatever finish I get or store pick, I'm buying a second one.
Mm-hmm.
I got to. Now, I need to find another rye honey finish, because the rye honey finish was just superb. Gosh.
You know how they say, the saying goes, it's the cask that makes whiskey?
Mm-hmm.
This is perfection. Okay, I'm getting the number. I'm getting the number, man. This is great.
Mm-hmm. Now you know why I'm such a Starlight fanboy. And I preach about them all the time, and this is our first time actually reviewing something. And the thing is, I think I was trying to save myself, because I want to reveal them all on here, because I think they're all superb. But I just can't just keep on putting Starlight.
Yeah. Like on your Instagram?
Yeah. At the beginning when we started this, Starlight. I was like, I can't help myself. Oh, man.
Huh. Wow. This is greater than the sum of its parts, because there's something here with a balance between the cask and the finish.
Yeah, it's like you perfect. get the best of both worlds.
Yes.
And don't miss nothing. And that's why they're so good. Like, probably my all-time favorite. I know everyone goes crazy over the honey and Amberana, but the one that's a sleeper is that rye Vidian finish, that orange wine finish rye. Oh, my goodness. If that's not up there. And they have others, too. I mean...
I love how this is so dry. And peppery. Not hot. Peppery.
Dude, I know where you needed to be where you were at and when you were in Indianapolis to get those scotches.
Yeah.
But man, I wish that you...
I know.
And sure were able to come here that first time, because that was a experience, man. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was crazy. You want this? Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, man. Yeah, this is so-and-so's NFL's team pick. You guys want to try it? Yeah. Are we allowed to? Yeah, sure. Okay.
they already picked it and paid for it. They're giving it away.
Yeah, try that. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it.
Well, you guys had a kind of a behind-the-scenes, not normal tour. Because they knew you. You had a connection.
Yeah. Well, I said they kind of knew us just from Instagram, basically. Now, if they would do that again, I'm not sure. I'm thinking that they will. I think they treat everybody like that. But I need to save up my money and be an adult. Like, continue to save. So I could actually... just do one pick in my lifetime. And it would have to be a Sterlite pick. I don't know what I will pick. But I just got to do it.
I can't believe this whiskey. 4.5 years.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now, verdict is out. A lot of people say that they do that. Well, a lot of people that hate on Sterlite, which you know that I'm not a Sterlite hater, but they kind of do have a point, but at the same time they really don't, because if you're a Sterlite lover like I am, you dig deep into all their products. So this whiskey influencer said, yeah, Sterlite makes good stuff, but you know the reason why they finish stuff a lot, so they can hide the age of their young whiskey. And then I thought about it, I was like, okay, that's a valid point, but at the same time, if they were trying to hide it, why did they put the years right smack dab in front of the bottle? And I have had stuff that's not finished from them at that age that was still good. So, I don't think they're trying to hide anything. I think they just, like, they get these barrels. Why not? Why not do something different?
And with a single barrel,
every barrel is different.
one's great, the other one's not, and it came off the same still the same day. This particular one, they landed
like,
on a great one.
I never thought that I could have a whiskey that was, well, finished in peach brandy. And they got that. I have that bottle. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Grape. Okay. Apple. Okay. Yeah. Rye finish and cherry liqueur barrels. Yes. Like, it's never ending with them.
The thing I like about this barrel finish is it doesn't overwhelm the bourbon.
Yeah, nothing's masked at all.
No, it doesn't, like, distract you so much that all you can taste or smell is that other thing. It's perfect balance here. So you can taste and smell all of it equally, and it creates a great experience.
The perfect marriage. And that's all their finishes. To me.
Not to me. I've had the Amberana. It takes over. It's like... putting a whole cinnamon stick, you know, as an example. Yeah. Not that it tastes
that's
like
just,
cinnamon.
Yeah, that's probably just Amberana in general. Yeah, Amberana. There's Just like the Defiant that we just reviewed?
Yes.
It's like a 50-50 thing.
It takes over.
People like hate it, for and sure. Then people love it.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, Amarana is a different animal.
And if there's a little in there, there's a lot in there. Because it takes
over. I just love it, man. It's like, man, chai tea.
Yeah.
This is what it reminds me
pretty
of.
Pretty much.
So, what is your rating? The reason why I made that sound, Dylan's daughter.
This is like earlier today.
Yeah, we're having a conversation. She's in her 20s or whatever. Mm-hmm. And me and Dylan were taking a break before we recorded this episode. And she was like, Dad, you know one thing I never asked you? What's your favorite scotch? Dylan proceeds to grab his back at the same time. But she's been telling me that he's had problems with his back. So I'm actually thinking that he threw out his back. But I think he was just surprised that his daughter asked him that question about what's your favorite scotch. Like,
yeah,
it's a loaded question for him.
It's a combination of things. It's two things. Her asking me that question.
And it's a loaded question for you. Like, now I gotta think.
That question is one of the toughest questions.
Yeah. So he grabs his back and he's like, ugh! Oh, boy. So your rating.
I still don't have a satisfying answer to that question.
Oh, I think you answered it correctly. You said Spring Bank.
But
I think if I were you, knowing you, I would have said something from Ardbeg, because those are easily accessible than the Spring Banks you got. That's why I was thinking that was going to be my guess for you, was something from Ardbeg.
It's one of those two. I think it comes down to one of those
two. Yeah, I thought you were going to say Ardbeg 10.
No. My favorite? No way. Not 10.
Really?
Oh, anamorphic?
Oh, yeah, that's up there.
Yeah, you have one of those, one of their committee release stuff.
Yeah.
And then
it's heavy vapors.
It's another level up.
Yeah, the committee release for heavy vapors is up there.
Particularly, this anamorphic is.
Yeah, that's top tier. That is beyond top tier. It doesn't even have a tier.
But it's also like Springbank. You know, like, you can get Springbanks that are on another level than the 15 or 18. Right?
That blend.
I don't know.
So you're ready.
You know what didn't come to mind was Yamazaki 18. I talk about it all the time, but it didn't come to mind.
Yeah, that's part. You till this day, which might change in a while because we have been reviewing some good stuff. But as of now, you still say that's the best whiskey you ever had. But that's been a long time ago.
Yeah. It was, you know how when you're in the moment, you can say, this is the best I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was just it. I was in the moment.
Yeah.
But everything I remember about it puts it right up there. Because it was just so mind-blowingly good.
Yeah.
All right, now you put me under pressure here. I got to come up with a number for this. Let me have another sip and taste. Because this is my jam. This everything about it. I love it. I can't say one bad thing about it. I mean, it's available. Well, okay. It's not available.
And it's a single barrel.
That's the one bad thing. 92.
Yeah.
I was going to say 93, but because it's...
I'm giving it a 92 as well.
And the first number that came to my mind was 95, and I'm like, wait a minute here.
Man, this is... Yeah, this cognac.
It's easy at 92.
Yeah.
Easy.
You cannot... rated anything below 90.
No. This is stellar. Just. Wow. Man, that was a great high end. Starlight for $80, you're telling me?
70 to 80.
You know, the prices are all over the place. And sometimes you're always looking and thinking, is this worth it? That is more than worth it. That could be $120. I'd pay it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Starlight, see?
Yeah.
I'm still ashamed of myself that this is the first one that we ever reviewed.
And we're just getting, I mean, we're just getting going.
And the reason why it took so long, because I have so much Starlight stuff, because I'm a fanboy of you guys, and I just didn't want to do overkill of Starlight, because I got it all.
How many bottles do you have?
Probably 40.
Yeah. You're a true fan.
At least 30 or so.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got a lot of doubles.
Oh, so you're counting the doubles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as different finishes, I would say probably...
Keep this bottle around for me. Like, don't I don't want to be like 2 years from now. That bottle, remember? Yeah. And then you say, oh, yeah, both of them are gone. Yeah.
Like, this is... I bought this last year. And...
Okay.
The day that I got it, my mom was here. And I got this on a Wednesday. Actually, I think I was coming from the Prados or whatever. Okay. And I was like, well, let me see what discount got. And I'm like looking in the aisle and all this stuff. And I was like, wait, they got a Starlight pick? And I was like, oh, cognac. Okay. So I bought it. Only bought one. And I was like, I knew I should get a backup. But I was like, I'm just going to hold myself because we're on a time regimen because we have to be somewhere else. So I just randomly grabbed it and went out of there. And then once we got to our destination, I popped it open. And this is what we drank to that point. And I was like, I got to save this. And then, you know, I got so many bottles at my place.
Yeah. It just sat.
I went to get a backup and then I never reached for it again. So this is from the first...
You're drinking it now at its prime.
Yeah. So this is the first pour. From the first day. This is what... From the neck all the way to what we had. And that's when I knew it was good.
Yeah.
And then my father-in-law got a bottle. Finished it. He was like, wow, that is just...
Yeah.
Impressive.
It is. Keep just save it for me.
Yeah,
that's all I'm asking is.
Well,
you got people who will get into that.
You got
because it's so good.
Yeah, you got this much. Well, not too many people know about the cognac barrel. Really, it's not their most popular finish.
Yeah.
I think, and I don't think they do it very often. But you got this left. And you know me, the way I drink bottles, and then I got a full one.
Yeah.
So we're good.
Okay, I changed my number, 93.
we got to ask for bottle, guys. 96.
No. I just started thinking about it. I'm like...
Now, one thing I'm going to tell you before this episode is over. I think you may change your viewing of that Amarana, because you had that on Fresh Quirk Pop. And I had Kevin's one that's... like that's been open for a while and I'm like, okay, yeah, still cinnamon, but it's just like to your point, it is an overflavored barreled.
Yeah.
But if that's gonna be your ending whiskey of the night, it can't end any better. If that's going to be your last whiskey of choice for the night, that's how that whiskey... you can't start with that whiskey.
No.
But as an ending whiskey for the night, to cap off your night, that is joyous. Because it's everything that you love. Tea.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Yes.
It's spice crazy. Rack. Yeah. It's crazy.
South American wood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or Brazilian.
Jungle, you know, like the Amazon.
And we had that on Fresh Corp, and we had nothing bad to say about it at all, but at the beginning of the day, your first whiskey is just like, okay.
Yeah.
Whoa, this is rough. Well, not rough, but like,
it's just,
man, all this flavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But yeah, as your nightcap, which we got to do one day, I think you'll change your tune
that one. For someone like me that loves this so much,
Yeah.
What else do they have that is close?
I would say that Glendronic one. Do you like that?
That's the only
one. Oh, no. I'm pretty sure more.
What else besides that one? Is that a regular one, the Glendronic, or is that kind of a
special
release?
Yeah. They got a... What's another finish that could be close to this cognac? So they got the Glendronic, like I said. They have so many.
Yeah.
That's
the nice thing crazy. About them, is yeah. they really are trying a ton of stuff.
Well, you probably like their, like, single barrel picks of their just regular, like, barrel proof. Well, they just came out with a barrel proof one, like, 2 winters ago. Mm-hmm. And it was like 130 proof, but that was only a distillery release. That's probably the highest proof that they ever done. And I was like pumped up for that one because I was hoping that someone would do a pick here. But the most I've seen is like 115, 117 range.
Which is right where this is, right?
Yeah.
115. I think the one that you said?
Yeah, 105.
Yeah, this is great.
I think the one that you will like will be the Pinot. Man, I can't even pronounce this wine. But it's super, super dark. Dark.
Hmm.
It's going to probably be the same color as that Rua.
Oh.
But it's not even that high proof. It's like 104. Now, that's up there.
Hmm.
In that caliber. Like I said, we're going to review more
of it's surprising stuff. How much a cask can influence something. You would think it wouldn't be that much.
Mm-hmm.
But a cask can just completely like that best, make it
the best one like that coffee. We had a lot of good ones in that Rickhouse. For sure. I'm trying to remember which ones I had, but the one for that NFL team that I'm not going to disclose... That was probably my favorite. And that was just a standard, you know, bourbon.
Oh, really? They're one of their regular Starlights, but a single barrel.
Yep. It was up there. And now they have a single malt now. I don't know how that is.
Gotta try that.
Now they just came out with a wheat whiskey this weekend, I think.
Uh-huh.
They have their latest finish... That they have done is a Mizunera, just like the Yamazaki.
Yeah.
So they got that finish, and I hear good things about that too.
Huh.
So. Yeah, but the latest purchase that I bought from Starlight recently, last year, which I have not revisited yet, only had probably 2 pours out of it, but double cask, Amberana rum finish.
Now I can see rum and Amberana cask. That makes sense.
Yeah. So.
Bourbon. It's still good. It still works. It's just not for me. Unfortunately. Anyway.
Yeah. Shout out to Starlight, man.
Starlight.
Hopefully I'll be there soon.
Never had a Starlight. Where do you start if you're a person who's like, never had a Starlight.
Well, here in Wisconsin, you can get their standard stuff. Like, they got a 92 proof bourbon. They got a rye. I can't remember what proof that is. And then they do have a finished product, which is their bourbon finish in VDN barrels.
Okay. So, like, their standard bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
How much?
I don't think it's got to be under 50.
Really?
Yeah, so 92 proofer. If it's not 50, it's under 50.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's over.
Go for it.
Yeah, I never tried their low proof stuff. Everything that I had is like 100.
You never tried it?
Everything I had is like 100. Because I always, when I got into Starlight, I always bought their single barrels. Whoever did a stir pick,
yeah.
I was all over it. I got a double oak. I got a French oak. Double oak and a, I think American double oak. And then they have a double oak rye that is phenomenal that I don't see anymore. But that's the thing. Like, back in the day, people used to do picks with them all the time here in Wisconsin. And I just seen a place in Oak Creek yesterday that just got their bourbon honey pick from them. And that's probably one of the latest ones I've seen around these neck of the woods in a long time. Because Amon used to do them all the time, but he hasn't done any lately.
Well, Starlight, you done it. You done did it.
My heart.
This one. Let me take one last look here. Carl T. Hoopers.
Mm-hmm. Single the Hooper barrel. Family. All of them are Hoopers.
It's like Pier. What's this Pier about?
Yeah, that's that distributor. That's what I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could have been in both places because I couldn't just pass up the store company.
I know. I know. I get it, man.
But you were there. That's all that counts.
Yeah, you should have been, though.
I mean,
I could have been at Story Time, too. Or Story Company, I should say. So, that's the web we weave.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't be at two places at one time.
Exactly.
Next time, though.
I gotta go.
Yeah, and same for me with Story Company. I would like to do Story Company and then drive, what, another hour and a half, maybe? Because what, Story Company is in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might as well just say that Starlight is in Kentucky, but they're like 20 minutes away from Louisville. So.
Yeah, it's an experience.
But it's like a whole farm, man. They got a coffee shop. They got an ice cream place. Like, everything's just homemade. The restaurant there is great.
Huh.
At Starlight. Talking about one of the best burgers I had.
How many people were there? Like,
as far as working?
Not working. Visitors.
Well, the thing is, it's nonstop with them because you got everyone and their mom that wants to do a pick with them. Oh. So when we were there, when Christian figured out who I was and all this stuff, when we were doing a tour, someone from New Jersey that owned a liquor store, a group of guys, I think maybe two and their wives and stuff, they joined our tour because they were doing a pick. And then Christian was going to meet up with us, and that was the regular tour, because the regular tour, I think we talked about this before in this podcast, that, you know, they treat you with, like, open arms, man. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. Like, man, we're taking apple brandy, like, straight from the steel. It was probably, like, 140 proof. Did it taste like 140 proof? Nope. But it looked like White Dog apple brandy when you smelled it. Ah, Granny Smith or whatever. And you sip it and you're like, oh my gosh. And then because first they take you through their wine cellar and their barrels and all that stuff. Sweet wine, so not for everybody.
Right.
But yeah, so we had the people from New Jersey with us because they were just finished doing a pick and they were doing a tour. And then there was another group in one of the Rick houses that Christian just threw us in there. Like, we were finishing up the tour, because you get seven pours, like, right away, and it's like...
As a regular tour.
Yeah, it's like daunting, because you got to pick and choose, and you're like, well, we already had, like, five before the tour, because they were, like, just giving us, you know, samples and stuff.
And then it's, like, Fast and Furious all of a sudden.
And so...
Try this.
When we had the group, like, the group that we were with, they're like, it's... Christian, did he forget about us? And I was like, let me message him. So I sent him a message. I don't know if he saw it or not, but he didn't forget about us. So right when I was like, you know what? I'm kinda glad he didn't come back, because I'm like, okay, whew, we gotta meet up with you guys at the Airbnb. And then right when we were like kind of deciding, like, well, he's probably not gonna come. It's kind of good anyway, because we probably met our limit. And what do you know? Here he comes upstairs. All right, you guys ready? Sorry I took so long. I had people doing a pick and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we all looked at each other. And I'm like looking at them. I'm like, we can't pass up on this opportunity.
No kidding.
And I'm thinking that everybody's going to be like, no, we got to meet the Colemans and this and that. And then you're like, yeah, let's do it. So he takes us to the Rick house, and we embarked on somebody else's barrel pick while they're in the Rick house. I follow them on Instagram. They follow us too. They're a bourbon club.
Oh, all right.
So I knew who they were when they were in there. I was like, oh, okay. Really? They're the black bourbon or whatever they're called. And I was like, they're in here. And I'm like, well, I'm just kind of cowardly at this point because I'm like, I'm just going to stay behind the scenes because his dad is doing this barrel pick with these people. And they're kind of high up because one of the lead guys he's like in the whiskey magazines and everything. And I noticed who he was right away. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like already like, oh shoot, we're embarking on
yeah
this guy's territory. But I was like, I'm with Christian though. He's one of the lead guys. So we went in there and we talked to them too, and they followed us on Instagram and all that stuff. And then, you know,
I'm surprised you didn't video the whole thing.
No, we didn't. I didn't even think about that, man.
Yeah, because
I
was living in the moment.
You know how you go to a concert or something?
Yes.
And you do want to film what's happening on stage, but you're like,
man, you also don't want to. Yeah.
Man, nah. But I wish I did. But the pictures were great.
Just to look back at it.
Because it was crazy.
And hear everything he said, because, you know, you're going to forget half that stuff. And then it's like all these little details he's dropping left and right.
I'm pretty sure we could do it again because they do have a podcast set up there.
Yeah.
And I think they have a whiskey room that's just not their stuff because he did kind of offer that when I first got there. But too many people showed up because I was like, oh, man, we got a slew of people with us. Because at first it was just me and Kevin.
If we ever do a barrel pick down the road.
Yeah.
We got our local Wisconsin one we're going to start off with.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, keep it here.
Yeah. Which would be Dancing Goat.
But I think this type of bourbon would be a great, great one to do.
Yeah.
And then we can graduate to Scotch someday. Like maybe our third barrel pick.
Talking about some price right there, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be pricey too.
For the most part, we'd sell it.
Yeah, you just got to have the right. It wouldn't
be just for us.
Yeah, you just got to get with a liquor store that has faith in that product.
Yeah, well, we would only pick something that is going to be known and well known and regarded as.
Mm-hmm.
This is an easy sale.
Now, like I said, if I saved up my money and wanted to do a true barrel pick, not even like relying on people.
Just to have it for yourself?
Yeah, and between us and some friends, yeah. I would be okay having 70 bottles of Starlight.
Yeah, if it's like this quality.
And not even go Absolutely. Through a liquor store, to be honest with you. Because I don't, once we started seeing it pop up here in Wisconsin, I don't see anyone really doing major picks. It was almost like they were the it.
Yeah.
And now with so many other stuff, now everyone kind of kicked them to the curb. But I still love them. But Amon hasn't really did anything with them in a long time.
Huh.
And others. Ray's never did a pick with them either.
Hmm.
And I was like, why would they not? But that's just how I feel about it. Like, I'd be okay with that. And then I would go on a bourbon freeze of buying stuff if I get the right single barrel.
Yeah, that's the thing. You get the right single barrel, it's worth
like, it. You can't go wrong with their honey finish because you can get the right honey finish that's silky smooth and it's like just a bourbon, like you're pouring it through a honeycomb.
Uh-huh.
Like a fresh honeycomb from a beehive. That's how it tastes. And it's like, oh my gosh, man. So that's like one of my goals. If I did something from Starlight, like I wouldn't even go through a liquor store. I was like, can we just do this just for me and Dill? And whoever wants a bottle, they can buy it. And then whatever's left over, Me and Dylan just have to suffer through it. But I would get... We could keep the barrel, get all of them to sign it or something, and then sign one of the bottles. And then not even open it.
That'd be cool.
I wouldn't even open it because you have so many and be like, oh, yeah, I got all their signatures on it. But yeah. that's my goal because it's a dream. It's pricey.
Yeah.
Those single barrels are pricey. I don't know how these bourbon clubs do it, but it's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
If you're making a profit, then it's worth it.
Yeah. And then you got a huge following. Like, when we attended this podcast, we intended this for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we have a love for it. Like, it'd be nice to have a following, which I know we do. I know it's not the biggest.
No.
But, I don't know, man. Then you'd be stressed.
Yeah, no pressure.
Hey, we're going to get all these single barrel picks, and no one's buying it. But if we did do one, it would be something that we'll like, and I would be okay having 70 bottles or something. It'd be our everyday drinker. Well, not every day, but something to go to.
Yeah, and you know... If you get a pick like this, I mean, this is a great pick, for instance.
Like, if you have 50 bottles of this, will you be upset?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, what am I going to do with 50 bottles? You're going to be like, well, in due time, I'm going to drink them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be in it within a year.
No.
But I know I'm not going to get this bottle again.
There you go.
So.
You know, you got a collection sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
You can just sit it there, let time go by. Open one when you want.
Yeah.
It's always there. It's great.
Or gift them to people.
Yeah.
That you know that will appreciate it. And it's like, hey, I picked this. Like, it means something when you say, hey, me and Joel picked this. Or me and Dylan picked this.
Yeah.
This is a one of one. Yeah, I know we probably have more bottles than we thought we were going to have, but we're perfectly okay with it.
That's a great gift.
Yeah. So shout out to you, Sir Light.
It's not attainable. You can't just get it.
Yeah. You can't. So shout out to Sir Light. Maybe one day we could go there. Off mic, I will tell Dylan my future plans of getting back there.
Okay. And on that note, everybody, we'll see you in another 2 weeks or so.
Yep.
See you.